the butt. We'll be ready for these schoolboys. They will wet themselves with blood.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's special pre-election Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And yes, that music was because in one day more, we indeed can create a peaceful revolution. We can elect a president of the United States. At least I hope so. I hope that this year, my people like musicals. But I think it's more than that. To me, that song, it expresses a lot of my feelings right now. It's a feeling of anticipation, of excitedness. In one day, maybe two, we will have, hopefully, this order on its way out and a new president, a new beginning, a new chance for America to be respected in the world, someone who cares about ordinary Americans and not just helping big business, someone who's intelligent and looks at the facts and makes decisions based on rational judgments. One day more. And yet it's that song, I don't know, it conveys fear, anxiety. You got even that police inspector, I don't know if any of you saw the musical Les Miserables, you got that police inspector Javert, who's not too different from John Ashcroft, secretly spy thinking. So I don't know, that song I guess kind of inspires me as I look on television. And I see the tens of millions of Americans who have already voted. They're voting early. They're voting early because they know that, at least in the battleground states, the Republicans have planned mighty voter suppression efforts. And their goals are going to be to make the lines as long as possible in Democratic-leaning counties so that you give up on your right to vote. And you know what? People aren't buying it. They're not buying it. They're standing 3, 4, 5 hours in the sun in Florida, elderly people with their walkers, 70, 80 years old, standing in their sun, defending the right to protect democracy. You know, it makes me so proud. It does. It made me proud too. But democracy begins at home. And it would seem that this government, which claims to care about democracy in Iraq and Afghanistan, obviously doesn't give a damn about it in places like Sudan or Ethiopia or other countries that have oil, like Equatorial Guinea or Gabon, they certainly don't care about it at home. The Republicans had 4 years to replace the... I tell you, the issue that I cared about then and now more than any other is the right to vote. Because I don't care what your views are on any issue. I don't care what your views are on spending, on civil rights. Well, civil rights kind of relates to it. But let's talk about the others. Abortion, gun control, the war in Iraq. Without the right to vote, our government has no legitimacy. Without the right to vote, we live in... We thought we knew the rules, right? I mean, we looked and we read the Constitution, and the rules say that whoever gets the most votes in each state gets that state's electoral votes. We didn't realize that if the election is close and one of the candidates has a brother who's governor of a state, that state gets a pass. They get a bye, like in a sports tournament. If your brother's governor of Florida, you just get those electoral votes, even if the majority special ticket. And if you complain about the rules, you just go to the ultimate umpires, where five of the nine don't care about the rules, and they just pick the winner themselves. You know, people get mad at sporting events when this happens, but the anger in the community is wide. I saw a poll recently. Some 80% of blacks believe that they will not be given a free and fair chance to vote. And look, they probably will be given that chance in states that don't matter, right? I mean, no one's going to fight to challenge their votes in New York, which Kerry will win, or Alabama, which Bush will win. No, they'll vote freely and fairly there. But in the battleground states, the states where it matters, given our silly electoral system, they are there. They are lining up. They are challenging people's right to vote. And I want to be clear. I may have gone a little too far yesterday. I have a lot of talk about revolution. Hey, I played this special song today. I'm not advocating violence. I fear violence, but I am certainly not advocating violence. I don't think we need violence. That's not the solution. The solution is, as much as possible, to work within the law. And that means knowing your legal rights. And that means if someone tells you, you can't vote, you say, what's your name? I want the name of all poll workers in the room. You take the names down. First, actually, before you do that, you might want to double check that you're in the right precinct. But if you're sure you're in the right precinct, and they should help you find the right precinct, they're supposed to be there to help you. But if you know you're in the right precinct and they don't have your name on the voters' rolls, and you ask them to check the back, particularly if you're a new voter registrant, you take everybody's names and you immediately walk out and call 866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-V-O-T-E. You call your local Democratic Party. Hey, if you're a Republican, call your local Republican Party. Although I haven't seen any incidents of Democrats keeping Republicans from voting. And I happen to be working for the Democratic Party tomorrow in Virginia to protect people's rights to vote. And they made it clear that even if we see someone covered in Bush-Cheney stickers who we think may not have a legal right to vote, that's not our job. That's not our job. That's the job of the people inside. They can determine, right? It's not our job to suppress the vote. We want to help people vote. We think voting's a good thing. We don't believe in using technicalities to prevent people from voting. The same stuff they did against the blacks in the South with the poll tax and the literacy test and the grandfather clauses. We think every American should have a right to vote. In fact, 100 years ago, they didn't even have voter registration. You would go in on election day and you would sign and you would vote. And if you tried to come in twice, well, they would recognize you and they'd say no. Or, you know, they'd have your signature. You can't sign twice. And that system, seems to me, it works. Now, I don't mind people having to sign and make sure that they are who they say they are, but we haven't seen massive amounts of dead people voting or people voting twice. That's quite a risk, right? For one extra vote, you could go to jail for 20 years. I don't think there's any huge scam to get people voting who don't have a right to vote, but there is a huge scam. There is a huge scheme to get people who do have a right to vote and to kick them off the voting rolls. And I'm going to be playing for you the tape that I wasn't able to play yesterday. I fixed the problems. Jack Hitt, investigative reporter with Chicago Public Radio, went in and investigated the worst things Republicans could find against Democrats and the worst thing Democrats could find against Republicans to see who's stopping who from voting. And I know that the Republicans will tell you, the Democrats do it too, the Democrats do it too. Will you listen to this? Listen to his report. And I know who he's talking about when he talks about the Republicans that are telling Democrats, you know, that are complaining about Democrats. He mentioned Scott Hoganson. I know Scott Hoganson. Scott Hoganson's been on my show several times. Check the archives. He is the spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. And the worst he could find was some guy high on crack who registered 35 times. Compare that to the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands, it seems, if they get there. Hopefully it'll just stay in the tens of thousands of Democratic-leaning voters that Republicans are trying to kick off the voting rolls. Remember, in 2000, it wasn't just that 170,000 Floridians' votes were thrown in the trash. It wasn't just that. There was also a felons list of some 54,000 names, of which 55% of them were black. People who were not felons kicked off in Florida in 2000. That's a story that, you know, I talk about, but most people don't know about. And that will probably be the difference in the race in Florida. Now, I want to make a correction. I talked yesterday about Glenda Snipes. Her name is Brenda Snipes. Glenda Hood is the Secretary of State of Florida. She's the former Bush elector appointed by Jeb Bush to run the elections in the state. She's the one who's working hard to make sure that if you don't check off a box that says you're a citizen, you sign that you're a citizen, but you don't put a little check in the box, you lose your right to vote, as if voting were some pass-fail test. Again, I'm not so sure how that's different from the literacy tests that were declared unconstitutional in the 60s. Anyway, that's Glenda Hood. Brenda Snipes is the Broward County Supervisor, who, as of today, is still insisting that even though some ballots were mailed out today, and 2,500 were mailed out on Saturday, overnight mail, but some reports I read, the post office didn't get them all on Saturday and had to mail some out today, you still have to get them back to the ballot box by tomorrow at 7 p.m. No, they won't allow you to do what we allow people in the military to do. What Ed Rendell, Democratic governor of Pennsylvania, who wanted to let everyone vote even though most military voters are Republicans, what he said is, all right, as long as you vote on election day before the deadline, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., whenever the polls close, if your vote is postmarked before that time, we'll accept your ballot, even if it arrives 5 days late. Not in Florida. Oh, maybe for the military ballots. Oh, sure, they did that for the military ballots 4 years ago because military voters tend to be Republican. So they're allowed to break the rules. But when the Broward County supervisor loses tens of thousands of absentee ballots, when it's her mistake and someone gets a ballot today or even tomorrow on election day, even though they ordered it absentee, even though they're out of town, they've got to get it to the polls by 7 p.m. today, tomorrow. Well, that brings me to the story of my hero. And she's right there on my website. Click on the article of my hero of the day, and you will find a very special woman. Her name is Irene Giordano. She is a Florida voter in Broward County. She's up in New Jersey. She ordered her absentee ballot a month ago, just like everybody else, and didn't get it. And still didn't get it. And still didn't get it. And she found out the rule that Brenda Snipes was enforcing, that you had to get that ballot back in on election day. You couldn't mail it on election day like people in the military can do. No, no, no. You had to get it to the ballot box on election day, and if not, well, you lose your right to vote. Well, Irene Giordano is my hero because she has gotten a flight on Continental Airlines on election day. She's flying into Fort Lauderdale from New Jersey simply to cast her ballot. The flight apparently cost $300-something, but she's doing it. That is my hero. This is not a rich woman. At least it doesn't say she is. I don't think she is. She's complaining about the $300 for the airfare and the cost of staying down there, but this is a Florida resident who was on vacation in New Jersey, a snowbird. She's flying into Florida to protect her right to vote. And she is definitely my hero of the day. I want to play for you what I didn't play yesterday, the details of Republicans and Democrats and what they're doing. And you can decide for yourself who's preventing who from voting. And again, I want to make my point clear. And if I have to go over today for web listeners, I'll do that. But I do think we should work within the law to try to get votes counted. But sometimes the law doesn't work. Clear example, when the United States Supreme Court violates the law and the Constitution to install their president. And Al Gore, and I'm sorry to say this because I liked Al Gore, and I still think he would have made a good president, but he felt the potential for violence, for danger, was too strong. He conceded, even though he knew the Supreme Court had no basis in law for his opinion. John Kerry, I think, understands the power of civil disobedience. What is civil disobedience? It's a nonviolent response. It is against the law, but it is a nonviolent response when someone does something wrong. And the clearest example is the 1960s. In the 1960s, it was illegal for blacks to vote unless they passed poll taxes and grandfather clauses and literacy tests, where sometimes they would be asked to read the entire Constitution without having it in front of them. They just had to memorize it. And if they didn't know the Constitution by heart, they couldn't vote. Now, that wasn't something done for white people. Or we also had blacks, right, that weren't allowed to eat in certain food counters and so forth. And what did they do? What did they do at Woolworth in 1960? Four dignified young black men sat there. The police said, you have to move. And they said, no, we're going to sit here. and we're just going to sit here in a sit-in peacefully, no violence. But they forced people to cart them away. Rosa Parks, in the bus. They asked her to move. Sitting in the front of the bus, she said, "My feet are tired, but my soul is rested. I'm standing still. You want me out of this bus? The police have to take me out of this bus." We may have to do the same thing in the polls. If they tell you you can't vote, go out, check your legal rights. Check your legal rights. By all means, call 866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E. Call your local Democratic Party attorney. Make sure you're in the right precinct. Make sure you registered. You have a legal right to vote. But if you have a legal right to vote and they won't let you vote, I say don't leave the polls. You stay there. You make the police take you out. Because that is what America's all about. We are in the right. You know, there are so many examples in these Bush rallies where they have people that are coming in that oppose Bush, and they simply wear a carry sticker, and they're carted out of public places, places where they should have a free speech right. And, you know, there's the protesters in New York, right? 2,000, never discussed, including people just walking by on their way to the deli, dragged out, put in jail, without trial, without a hearing, without an attorney, 48 hours without being charged, living on almost no food. Apparently each got an apple, in this seeping oil, because they dared to protest the President of the United States. Well, that shouldn't happen in a democracy. And so we need to work within the law. But when necessary, we need peaceful ways to insist on our rights as Americans. So I want to be clear from yesterday. I know I got excited. I get very excited and upset when I understand people are denied the right to vote. What Sharon called in yesterday and told me about the 4,000 black college students in Tampa, that they said, just don't go to the polls. They had their voter registrations ripped up by the Republican organization, Voters Outreach of America, Nathan Spruill's organization, the chairman of the Arizona Republican Party, who's going around taking registrations of tens of thousands of people. And if you vote for Kerry, your registration gets ripped up. If you say you're going to vote for Bush, then it gets filed. So then you go to the polls planning to cast your ballot. You know you've registered, and lo and behold, you're not on the books. If you're a victim of Nathan Spruill, you go back. If you think you voted, you have a right to vote, you go back. You demand your right to vote. They have to let you vote provisionally. That's the law. That is the law. In every state of the United States, I don't care where you are, you have an absolute right to vote provisionally. Now, I'd prefer... The Democratic Party would prefer. We'd all prefer you vote normally. If you vote normally, your vote counts. That's it. It counts unless they do some sort of chicanery with the machines. And we'd have poll workers hopefully watching that. We got Michael Moore, in fact, sending 1,200 video cameras out. You can't help that. But your vote will be counted if you vote normally, absent that other stuff. But if you vote provisionally, it can be challenged. And so the Republicans are sending in 35,000 poll workers in Ohio. They're paying them $100 an hour. $100 an hour to challenge blacks from voting. Not just blacks, but anyone who looks to be a Democrat. $100 an hour to fight democracy in America. And their troops are doing it. So if they tell you you can't vote, you say, you know what? You say it loudly. You say it clearly. You say it so everyone in the room can hear. I am an American. You will not deny my right to vote. I have an absolute right to vote. And hopefully they'll give you a right to vote. But if they don't, at least you have an absolute right to vote provisionally. Do not leave that polling booth without at least casting a provisional ballot. Pass on the message to everyone you know. Get the names of poll workers, because we can do lawsuits later if you at least cast a provisional ballot. We can do a lawsuit to protect your right to vote. But if you leave that polling place and you don't vote, if there's a long line that lasts 4 hours long and you get tired of it all because the Republican polling workers are challenging every Democratic voter purposely to make the lines long, and you leave that line, you lose your right to vote. And then, really, it's partly your fault for what happens in this country. So that's my speech. I know I've gone on long. Let me play for you the 13 minutes of Jack Hitt's investigative report into what happened in, what the Democrats are complaining about, what the Republicans are complaining about in terms of voter suppression. Let me play it for you. We'll have plenty of time to talk afterwards. As I said, I'll go over for my internet audience. And, I don't know what to say. Here it is.
There are already hundreds of alarming stories this election year. And as a public service, I've immersed myself in this hideous sump of pond scum. It's deep here. So deep that to give you even a bare sense of the sheer profundity of this abyss, I'm going to have to resort to one of the oldest gimmicks in radio broadcasting. That's right. Speed it up music. Nevada. Dan Burdish, former director of the state's Republican Party, filed a complaint to remove 17,000 voters from the rolls because they had failed to file a change of address card. State law doesn't require it, and in fact, allows you to vote after moving. When asked why he did it, Burdish told the press, "I am looking to take Democrats off the voter rolls." Florida. Senior citizens in Democratic precincts are calling their election boards by the hundreds, reporting that strangers, claiming to be from the elections office, are offering to hand-deliver their absentee ballots for them, even though there is no such program. Wyoming. Secretary of State Joseph Meyer interpreted the statutes there to outlaw voter registration drives, like the kind where a group sets up a card table in a mall or library. One of Meyer's oldest friends, a classmate in both high school and college, is Dick Cheney. Philadelphia. 3 weeks before the election, a white Republican alderman named Matt Robb requested that 63 polling stations in African-American neighborhoods be relocated, thereby making it more confusing for 37,000 Democrat-leaning voters. Florida. Once again, as in the 2000 election, the state compiled a list of felons to be barred from voting. Throughout this election year, Governor Jeb Bush's administration struggled to keep this list secret. After a lawsuit forced it into the open, people quickly saw that while some 23,000 Democrat-leaning black felons were barred from voting, almost the same number of Hispanic felons in Florida, who tend to vote Republican, were somehow not on the list. There are some stories, though, where you really want to slow down and relish the details. Take New Hampshire. On Election Day 2 years ago, the Democrats offered their voters a hotline to call if they were disabled or aged and needed a ride to the polls. Early in the morning, the phone started ringing continuously, but when the volunteers answered, the callers would hang up. This jammed the lines, and legitimate callers couldn't get through. The Democrats complained to Verizon, which immediately traced every one of the calls to a Virginia company called GOP Marketplace. After a police investigation, the president of that firm and the former executive director of the New Hampshire Republican Party both pled guilty to criminal charges and admitted that they'd hatched the plan to have callers from GOP Marketplace jam the line in order to prevent elderly and disabled Democrats from getting to the polls. But that's not the end of the story. The court documents refer ominously to an unindicted co-conspirator, a national strategist who arranged the entire dirty trick. The Democrats launched a civil suit to find out how far up the line the order went. In October, the Democrats' lawyer, Steve Gordon, scheduled a routine deposition of one of those involved. 20 minutes before they were all to meet in Gordon's office, a call came in. It was the Justice Department of the United States in Washington, John Ashcroft's office, issuing an emergency halt to the deposition. The deposition would have to be postponed until after the election. This federal intrusion into local politics was so ham-fisted and extraordinary that it got tongues wagging all over the state, and soon enough, the tongue shook loose the identity of the mystery phone jammer as one of President Bush's top strategists, Jeffrey Tobin, the regional director of Bush-Cheney 04 for the entire Northeast. 2 weeks ago, he resigned. In the past, all these tactics would have been found out by the media weeks after the election, when the perpetrators would be long gone and the damage done. But this year, the internet is ready. Every day, new accounts of political scamming surface on blogs like Atrios or Daily Kos. There's even an archive of dirty tricks maintained over at eripost.com. And when you browse these sites, once hidden patterns suddenly appear. It's sort of like how historians say that serial murder was only discovered after the invention of the telegraph, which allowed cops to quickly share evidence. This year, the blogs have allowed us to see, for the very first time, the wide, wide world of serial vote suppression. For example, let's look at the accounts of two librarians who've never met from opposite sides of the country. In September, Megan O'Flaherty, a librarian in Medford, Oregon, got a letter.
The letter that came to me, it's on Spruill & Associates Incorporated letterhead. Our firm has been contacted to help coordinate a national nonpartisan voter registration drive. We would like to be able to register people to vote in front of your location.
That name, Sproul & Associates. I want you to remember that. Now let's leave Oregon and fly off to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Holly McCullough at the Carnegie Library got a similar request. Nathan Sproul for a nonpartisan registration drive. But things weren't what they seemed. Holly, for example, had patrons complaining that the Sproul workers were quizzing them about who they would vote for. So both Megan and Holly started digging, and here's what they found out. Sproul, it turns out, is a partisan group, run by Nathan Sproul, the former director of the Arizona Republican Party and the state's Christian Coalition. Sproul has received more than $3 million in contracts this year from no less than the Republican National Committee to pump up party registration. And these last 2 weeks, Sproul has been popping up everywhere, in as many as 10 states. Let's soar off to one of them, West Virginia. Lisa Bragg is a temp worker there who signed on with a half dozen other temps for work described as customer service. She remembers it required a day of training.
They presented us with some paperwork, and on one of the papers, on the top of the paper, it says Sproul & Associates. And it's a script, a voter registration script.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you different scenarios. One is for Bush and one is for Kerry, as to how you would speak to people.
Right. Do you remember sort of what those scripts were?
It's right in front of me. I kept these forms.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
Right.
Can you just, like, just if you were approaching me on the street, how would you?
Okay, I would say, hello, we are doing a simple survey. If the election were held today, would you vote for President Bush or Senator Kerry? If you were to say Bush, I would say, great. Well, this is a very important election year. Are you registered to vote at your current residence? If you would say no, I would say, all right, can you please fill out this voter registration form?
If I had said Kerry, what would you have said to me?
Thank you very much for your time. I will record this.
Oh, so you wouldn't hand the person a registration card at all?
No.
Lisa says she quit. She didn't like all the secrecy and covert operations involved.
On another sheet of paper, it says, they were telling us that the media approached us to go to a payphone and call this number. They didn't want us talking to the media.
When you called that number, what were you supposed to just say?
The media's coming. The media's coming. I don't know. help! The media's here. I don't know. I don't know. But I didn't want to be put in a position like that. Not only was I lying to people, you know, about what I was doing, but I was going to hide from the media? That's crazy.
Okay. Tinkerbell, are you ready to fly off to the next spot? Look, there's Nevada. This week, though, what happens in Vegas isn't staying there. It's the latest chapter in the Sproul story, one that will soon get told in criminal court. A former Sproul worker has hired a lawyer named Paul Larson, who explains the upcoming case.
This young man didn't do the screening process and just registered everybody who, you know, would let him do it. This is according to his sworn affidavit. The organization indicated to him that, you know, we're not paying you to register Democrats, and actually tore up several of them in front of him, which he retrieved from the trash, and we provided to the court as exhibits.
Two more former Sproul workers in Nevada and others in Oregon have stepped forward with allegations of more registrations being ripped up. No one knows how many may have been destroyed. So these people, all Democrats, will not be able to vote at all. They think they are registered and may show up at the polls on Election Day to learn that there is no legal way, provisional ballot or not, that they can vote. In response to the Sproul story, Republicans in Nevada have said that Democrats engage in similar tactics. Chris Carr, the executive director of the state party, made public 3 Democrat registration forms with non-existent addresses. This is the way these stories go. Both sides make charges that seem roughly the same. But on this issue, there is a qualitative difference between Democrats and Republicans. I called both camps and asked them to give me their worst stuff about the other side. Here's what the Republican spokesman, Scott Hoganson, said.
We have been compiling hundreds of pages of media reports from all over the country of documented cases of investigations of fraudulent voter registration cases, everything from police in Ohio investigating a pro-Kerry effort to submit faulty voter registration forms and pay the people with crack cocaine, to a gentleman in Denver, Colorado, who brags and laughs on television about having registered to vote 35 times. The number and degree of faulty and questionable and outright fraudulent registrations is really quite stunning in its depth and breadth.
He sent me a copy. It's all newspaper clips, many of them unverified charges. There are a few that check out. There really was, for example, this white guy working for an outfit affiliated with the NAACP who registered voters under names like Mary Poppins and Jeffrey Dahmer. And it's true, he was paid in crack cocaine. Very bad, and a great story. And then there was the Colorado guy who registered himself 35 times. Also true, also very bad. But the reason you could be hearing about these two examples over and over in the official Republican talking points in the next few days is that that's the best they've got in their hundreds of pages. Strange enough, reading the very stories they sent often undercut their main argument. For example, that Colorado guy? Here's a line from the article the GOP sent me. Quote, "Just because you register someone 35 times doesn't mean they vote 35 times." End quote. Let me repeat. These are quotes from the official Republican vote fraud press packet. Where there are real cases of registration fraud in this compendium, they usually involve poor people getting caught not trying to fix the vote, but trying to squeeze a few extra bucks, or, okay, a nice chunk of crack, out of these organizations that stupidly pay the temps a fee for each registration card turned in. But don't take my word for it. Again, the GOP's own clip file. Registration irregularities are, quote, "not an attempt to commit fraud, but rather the result of greedy workers who get paid for every voter they sign up, or already registered voters who forget and register again," end quote. Meanwhile, the incidents of vote suppression on the Republican side involve massive numbers, and soon enough, actual jail time for high-ranking officials connected directly to the party. Chuck McGee, the executive director of the New Hampshire GOP, is scheduled to be sentenced. Spruill is awaiting trial. Then there's Florida's felony purge list, which almost knocked 23,000 African Americans off the voting rolls while keeping arguably the same number of Republican-leaning felons free to vote. Recently, the Sarasota Herald Tribune broke the story that Governor Jeb Bush, the president's brother, ordered the state to proceed with the felony purge list, even though the database company that put it all together informed him that it was so hopelessly flawed he should, quote, pull the plug. So, are they all the same? Is the crackhead faking a handful of registrations for Jeffrey Dahmer the same kind of thing as wiping 17,000 voters in Nevada, 23,000 voters in Florida, 30,000 voters in Ohio completely off the rolls? The other part of the ground war that's being waged this weekend is to make you think that they are.
Pretty strong words, huh? Pretty strong. That's the clip I was trying to play for you yesterday, and I wanted you to hear now. I'm stunned, and I knew about most of these incidents. I didn't know about all of them. I want to hear from you. We're going to go over today. We're going to go over the hour for Internet listeners. I want to fully discuss this issue because there's nothing more important than the right to vote. So I'm going to give you a chance to call in. We'll go to commercial break. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. 877-57-SCOOP. And you can contribute to the blog, and we'll be reading some of your blog comments. Just go to www.radioinsidescoop.com. Let me know what you're hearing in your local area. What are the stories you're hearing? Let's spread the word. Let's let people know. Let's protect the right of Americans to vote. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop this one day before Election Day, right after this.
Time for another Gooberhead Award. presented periodically to those in the news whose tongues are moving 100 miles an hour, but who forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's Goober Head is Representative Candace Miller, a Michigan Republican who has written a bill that effectively will require all Americans to start carrying a national ID card. The idea of having to show your papers has been an anathema to liberty-loving Americans since the founding of our nation. Yet, ironically, so-called conservatives like Miller are now demanding such autocracy. This legislation would authorize the Homeland Security Czar to require all states to standardize everyone's driver's license. The Czar would set federal rules for the data that people would have to provide to get a license, requiring that every state license include such data. The feds could require your fingerprints, eye prints, or any other personal identifying information, thus nationalizing our driver's licenses. Yet Representative Miller, obtuse to the Orwellian nature of her own bill, says blithely, "I don't think this is anything that should cause anyone concern." No, it should not cause concern. It should cause us apoplexy. Not only would she let the Homeland Czar usurp the authority of states, but she also lets the feds require all of the states to funnel our license info into a linked national database that will be available to a broad range of government agencies and corporations. This amounts to a backdoor way of creating a national ID card. If it passes, you won't be able to get on an airplane, rent a car, enter a government building, or otherwise move about freely without showing your federally sanctioned papers. It creates a new system of internal passports for what we once hailed as the land of the free. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this goober-headed stumble toward a federal police state, call the ACLU, 212-549-2500.
Still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
One day more.
One day more. Tomorrow is Election Day. Some of you may have already voted. I applaud that, particularly those of you that stood in long, long lines to vote early on Election Day. You are my American heroes. Of course, my truest hero is the woman from New Jersey. I talked about her right before, who's actually flying down to Florida so that she can cast her absentee ballot that was mailed late to her. Actually, apparently it was never mailed to her. How's she going to cast it? Maybe she just got it. I'll have to read the article again. But she didn't get the absentee ballot on time, got it the last minute, and because Brenda Snipes, appointee of Governor Jeb Bush, is insisting that voters in Fort Lauderdale and Broward County, that most heavily Democratic county in Florida, they've got to turn their votes in by Election Day at the last hour, even though she herself messed up in getting them the ballots late. Well, Irene Giordano has taken her vote in her own hands, flying down, casting her ballot. That is an American hero. You know how they have the stamps where you see the Americans putting up the flag after September 11th? How about a new stamp with Irene Giordano clutching her absentee ballot and one hand and an airline ticket in the other and saying, "They can't stop me from voting." You think they'll ever put that on a stamp? I would vote to put that on a stamp. You know, the thing we just heard is so shocking, and yet there are so many examples across the country. And I'm just going to read them off to you. Some of them you've heard before, some you haven't. I want to give details so that you know them. And like I said, we probably will be going over for internet listeners. In Florida, in Duval County, which includes Jacksonville, it turns out that the early voters are 2-1 from the Republican areas because that's where they put the polling places. And as for the new black voters, 31,000 black voters were added by the end of last week in the last 4 years. And of those, 11,500 as of a few weeks ago, had yet to be processed. One-third of all black votes yet to be processed. Some of the reasons, by the way, was because they had the street addresses on the wrong lines. They had the street addresses on the wrong lines. They had their street address, but they put it on the wrong lines. Oops, guess that means you lose your right to vote. What else in Florida? Well, we know about the felons list that was faulty. They talked about that. I've talked about that. But do you know what they're doing? Now they're saying you have to prove, in some of these counties, you have to prove you're not a felon. Prove you're not a felon. Can you prove you're not an alien? Can you prove you're not a serial killer? Can you prove that you're not anything? How do you prove that you're not a felon? You show them a blank piece of paper? Hey, here's a list of all my felonies. It's blank. Let me vote. How do you prove that you're not a felon? Amazing. What else? What else do we have here? We have in Milwaukee. Let's see. In Milwaukee, Republicans have a list of 37,000 voters who they plan to challenge. Some of them actually have their addresses but don't have their apartment number. Well, I guess they should lose their right to vote. Even though Milwaukee's city attorney, who's nonpartisan, says that hundreds of the addresses have already been confirmed as valid. Oh, well. Oh, well. You got to get a perfect score in order to vote. That's what literacy tests are all about, even though the Supreme Court declared them unconstitutional 40 years ago. 4,000 voters in Florida. Again, why do we keep hearing about Florida? In Alachua County, 4,000 voters had their addresses changed against their knowledge, thus preventing them from voting. Now, how did that happen? Must be a coincidence. Must be like that crazy guy on crack. Just a sheer accident. In Milwaukee, again, Wisconsin. You know, we don't hear these complaints in Texas or California or other states that aren't battleground states. In Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, there are flyers circulating that say they're from the Milwaukee Black Voters League, according to the flyers. Quote, if you've already voted in any election this year, and there were earlier primaries, remember, in Wisconsin. Quote, if you've already voted in any election this year, you can't vote in the presidential election, unquote. Quote, if you violate any of these laws, you can get 10 years in prison and your children will be taken away from you, unquote. Now, look, you may laugh, you may say no one would believe this, but you got to remember there are people in this country that are very poor, that are trying to work to make a living, holding down 2-3 jobs, struggling at the edge of poverty, and they might well believe such a thing. And in any event, whether they believe it or not, the gall of someone to put this up? Again, I want to see heavy jail sentences. I don't know how we ever prove it. But I think if we said, for every person you prevent voting, 1 year in prison, you prevent 20 people from voting, 20 years in prison, you prevent 20,000 people, well, that's clearly life imprisonment. We could really make a difference. You know, Republicans are all about stopping people from, you know, getting pornography or Janet Jackson from showing her breast. But the right to vote, now, children will be children, right? Oh, someone's putting up a funny joke. That's really funny. In Lake County, Ohio, again, Ohio, swing state, coincidence, many voters received a bogus memo purporting to be from the Board of Elections, informing voters who registered through Democratic and NAACP voting drives that they couldn't vote. If you have a problem, you have to go to the sheriff. Now, this letter, by the way, is right here on my website. You can look at it for yourself. Just go to yesterday's show. Click on the weblog because that gives you the full text of what I wrote. Sometimes I have to shorten what I wrote, and some of you, I know, have trouble finding the weblog. You just click at the bottom where it says weblog, and it shows you a long text. Click where it says this letter. You can look at the letter from Lake County, Ohio officials themselves. What else? Well, in South Carolina, not a swing state, but there is a letter that purports to be from the NAACP. I guess it's just a simple racist matter. This letter says that voters who have outstanding parking tickets or have failed to pay child support will be arrested when they show up at the polls. Wow. I guess racism can trump even the swing state rule. In Cleveland, a number of voters have been called saying that their voting places have been changed. Oh, that's a great way of getting them to go to the wrong precinct. Terrific, in Cleveland, Ohio. And a number of them had their doors knocked on. They were asking to give them their absentee ballots and that they would deliver them to the election office. Jane Platten, a spokeswoman for the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections, said officials have not identified who's behind the tricks, but it's certainly illegal. Quote, we've never seen anything like this before, and where there seems to be a concerted effort to give voters misinformation. I just got too many examples here. That's why we're going to have to go over. You know about Nathan Spruill. He's active in some 10 different states, his little scheme of tearing up voter registrations. I don't know what to say. There's a lot more to say, but if this doesn't make you angry, if this doesn't make you angry as an American, forget Democrat, angry as an American, then how can you defend democracy anywhere? Again, the number is toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
This is Ed, and Mark, did you hear today that the two United States federal district judges in Ohio said that you could not have poll watchers inside the polls in Ohio in two different cases? However, I did hear that the ruling of these two different district court judges has been appealed to the Sixth Circuit.
Ed, I appreciate you bringing that up. Actually, when I got to my blog, I was going to bring it up. I wasn't aware of that. James also has emailed me and put it on the blog, saying the same thing you have. It is a terrific ruling. Because clearly the 35,000 people that they were marching into the polls paying $100 an hour to challenge each and every voter clearly was a scheme aimed at intimidation, aimed at long lines, and I think that's a great ruling. I'm sorry to hear they're appealing it, and we'll just see what happens in the courts.
Well, the thing that really bothers me is the Sixth Circuit has already ruled once for Republicans, when they were talking about absentee ballots having to vote in the precinct.
Yeah.
And I am afraid that the same judges who ruled on the last case will end up ruling on the current case, and that's going to be a real, real problem.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your call. I think Ed makes a good point. I also care and am concerned about the Sixth Circuit. It is an extremely conservative district, and it illustrates the problem we have here when we have one corruption feeding on another. We had a Supreme Court illegitimately choose the president. Then the president for four years, has been pushing his judges on the bench. And for all the press about the Democrats fighting back against three or four or six judges, hundreds have been confirmed. And these are the most right-wing judges ever in American history. And so they understand that they can't have democracy, because if you have democracy, people vote. They vote for Democrats, and those Democrats will change the bench and make it more liberal. So you have these same judges protecting themselves, right, and not following the law. Now, they took an oath to defend the United States Constitution, and it seems to me the right to vote is the most basic right you could have. And yet I truly fear these judges are violating the law to protect themselves. And sometimes we just got to use more than the law. We've got to use public pressure. For example, when the Secretary of State of Ohio said that you can't register to vote unless the paper on which you registered weighs a certain amount, there was such an outcry that the Republican Secretary of State backed down. And sometimes I think we have to go beyond the law and use public pressure. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine.
Hi, Mark. Great to hear you. I have a request.
Sure.
For every depressing, scary fact, and I know that the Republicans are capable of pretty horrible things. As you can see, they tried to run it up the flagpole with that lightweight paper. They'll try anything.
Right.
My request is this. For every bit of horrible news you give, give another bit of news that shows that we are fighting it.
Okay, you know, that's a fair request.
I think there's an answer for each of them.
That's a fair request, and in fact, when I end this broadcast, I was planning to go and talk about why I believe Kerry's going to win, go through all the different states where I think he's ahead, where I think that no matter what they do in Florida, we can still win with Ohio and Wisconsin. There is good news. I don't mean to be only giving bad news here. It's a fair point.
Because the only reason I ask is, no matter, there's no keeping me away from the polls, but there are people out there that, first of all, they bandwagon it, or they just get despair.
It's a fair point. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you what I'm doing tomorrow. And I'm just one of tens of thousands of Democratic lawyers that are going out to protect people's right to vote. Let me tell you what I'm doing tomorrow. What's your name, by the way?
That's Rod from New York.
Hey, Rod from New York. Yeah. Glad to hear from you again. What I'm doing tomorrow is I'm going out there. I'm going to have it'll be nonpartisan, no carry stickers. I just simply have a voting rights badge on.
Right.
I got my little stack of Virginia statutes.
That's like a carry badge, actually.
Well, yeah. Fair point. Obviously, people know or should know that it's Democrats that are protecting your right to vote and Republicans trying to suppress the vote.
Yeah.
But all right, fine. It doesn't mention carry. It simply says voters' rights. And I have the Virginia statutes. I know who legally can cast a ballot. It is slightly different from state to state. But I'll be sitting out there, and if somebody comes out and they have a sad face, they don't have that little I voted sticker on, I'm going to ask them, were you able to vote?
Brilliant.
And if they don't want to talk to me, they don't have to talk to me. But if they do want to talk to me, I don't care, by the way, whether they're Democrat or Republican. I don't care if they are a Bush-Cheney supporter. I will defend that person's right to vote.
We're about letting everyone vote.
Absolutely. And I'm not the only one, obviously. I've done this for several years now. I used to do it in California when there were very few of us doing it. But this year, because of what happened 4 years ago, people realize how important it is. And I've just heard Ed Gillespie, I just heard him an hour ago, complain, oh, my God, the Democrats have thousands of lawyers. What are we doing? We're telling people their legal rights.
Right.
That's an awful thing. And what are Republican lawyers doing? They're going in there, and they're trying to throw people off the voting roll. And he's complaining about us? But you're absolutely right, Rod. We are there.
Excellent.
And I got to tell you, frankly, if you don't live in a swing state, we may not be there, but they're not going to try to challenge you. Nobody cares. I know you're in New York, Rod. Everyone knows New York's going for Kerry.
I'm giving out that 866
go right ahead.
Vote number to everyone I know.
It's 866 O-U-R-V-O-T-E. But let me say, it may be, who knows, it may be jammed. You know, there's all kinds of things you can try.
They're going to try to do that, too.
Call your local Democratic Party or your local Republican Party. Hey, call your local Green Party for all I care.
Right.
But the local party officials often know the local law, because the only problem with O-U-R-V-O-T-E, they should have 50 law books there. I assume they do. But sometimes it really helps to have someone in the ground. Sometimes they even know people. You call your local Democratic Party if you're in Manhattan, Rod, and they'll know the polling official. And they may even be able to give them a call and say, you know, John, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know, let this person vote.
Yeah.
And so just the main thing I have to say, Rod, is don't give up.
No.
Don't give up. You may even have to leave the polling place and come back. But do not give up. Make sure you, at the very least...
Then they couldn't chase me away with pitchforks.
Yeah, well, at the very least, you cast
a
provisional ballot.
But I'm worried about those that aren't quite as, shot out of a cannon like me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Rod. I think that those of us standing in line, particularly where there are long lines, can help each other. If we see somebody walking away, we can encourage them to stay. I think the long lines, frankly, are part of the plot. There's no question in my mind that... Then they send 35,000 poll challengers into Ohio, and I'm very glad to hear from James and Ed that for now is stopped by the courts. But when they do that, they don't expect to find 35,000 people committing fraud. No way. You know, maybe they'll find 35. What they expect to do is to make enough ruckus and enough long lines that people who lead busy lives have to go home and vote. I mean, have to go home. And not vote. So I think if you stand in line, you can help your fellow voter, encourage them not to leave. And let me tell you one rule that I know is true in every single state in the United States. If you arrive at the polling place before it closes, let's say it closes at 7 p.m.
Right.
And by the way, make sure you know what time your polling place closes.
Oh, I'm going to be there. I'm going to wait for the door to open.
Because sometimes it's at 6 p.m. in some states. Some states it's late as 8 or 9.
Right.
Check on the web, check, call your local registrar. Hey, if you really don't know and you can't figure it out, send me an email. I'll find out for you.
Okay?
But find out what time your poll closes. And by the way, in some states, I know Wisconsin and Minnesota, you don't even have to be registered. You can do same-day registration, which, by the way, I think is great for democracy and very important in two states, because Minnesota and Wisconsin are very important swing states.
Right.
If you can do same-day registration, do it. And here's the rule. If you arrive at your polling place prior to when it closes. Let's say it closes at 7 p.m. and you arrive at 6:55 and you get in line.
Yeah. you get to vote.
That's exactly right. They say, oh, I'm sorry, the polls are closing. You have an absolute right to vote. Do not go home. Ask if you can stand inside the door. If they won't let you, if they try to lock up, you say, I'm calling 911. I'm calling 911. This is an emergency. You have no right to do this to me. You get their name.
Yep.
And you call 866-OUR-VOTE. You probably will have some time to do this because, you know, they'll probably tell a whole bunch of people that they can't vote, and then a whole bunch of people will be angry. Now, let's be fair. If you arrive at the polls after 7 p.m., 7:01, 7:02, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure everyone knows the rule. You get there before the polls close. You have an absolute right to vote, even if you have to wait 3 hours in line afterwards.
That's nationwide, right?
That's nationwide, every one of the 50 states.
Now, what are the rights attached to people that are trying to get a hold of a provisional ballot, but they say they didn't print enough? Like, they were trying to do that in Milwaukee?
Yeah, actually, it was in Milwaukee. It was in Wisconsin. They didn't print as many ballots as they did in 2000. The Republicans said if we print too many ballots, there's a chance for fraud here.
Right.
I don't know how that happens unless I don't know. So if not, you insist on it anyway. It doesn't matter if you take a piece of paper and you write down, I vote for whoever you vote for, and you fold it up and you tape on it your name and address, and you write provisional ballot, and you make sure it goes in the same ballot box sealed with all the other provisional ballots.
Okay.
That's fine. Use a piece of paper. And if they try to throw out that ballot on the grounds it's not on the proper paper when they ran out, you know Democratic lawyers in Wisconsin will defend your right. But do not leave.
Mark, is this some kind of form online in the form of a provisional ballot that can be printed out and copied up? So if they claim they've run out of them, volunteers could be outside the polling place with a stack of these?
I don't know. I assume it would depend state by state. I think if you try to do that, then a bunch of Republicans would claim you were trying to commit fraud.
Bring it on, you know.
I think the safest thing to do is they should have the ballots there. And if they don't, if they actually run out of provisional ballots, bring paper, write on paper. I cannot see any court in the nation, even this crazy Supreme Court, I can't see them saying that when they run out of ballots at the local ballot place, that you can't create your own provisional ballot.
Right. That's actually the only reason I thought there might be the form online that you could print out and copy up.
Yeah.
So that, people can bring a stack of them. But I agree, it's a very good idea to bring paper to the polling place for the simple reason that if someone tries to get in your way, you ask them their name.
You know what? Even if they don't, there's going to be paper. Polling places are full of paper. Even if you don't bring paper, ask some kind person next to you to borrow a piece of paper, write in the back of an envelope, get a pen, write down the name of any poll worker that tells you you can't vote.
Right.
And that's our best defense. Hey, Rod, thanks very much for your call.
Thanks so much, Mark.
I appreciate
it.
What's that?
Let's get them tomorrow.
We'll get them tomorrow.
All right.
We're going to go to commercial break. That'll be it for the radio broadcast. But Internet listeners, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going until the cows come home, till I've fully discussed this issue one day more before Election Day. So that's it for radio listeners. For Internet listeners, stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop. You can call in toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, this special pre-election, one day more of the Inside Scoop. We'll be right back.
Has raised wages. I'll tell you about it today on Hightower Radio.
I bring you tidings of great joy. At last, our Congress critters have done something tangible to lift people up from the economic doldrums. They've raised wages in America. You're not silly enough to think for a moment that Congress would raise your wages, are you? No, no, Nanette. For the past several years, they've kept the minimum wage in our country stuck at the paltry poverty level of $5.15 an hour. It's their wages that they've just raised again. By again, I refer to the fact that this is the sixth pay hike that our lawmakers have bestowed upon themselves in the past 6 years. This time, the members will pocket an extra $4,000 each, raising their gross pay to about $162,000 a year. Of course, congressional leaders don't do such dirty work directly. Instead, these steady increases, now totaling some $25,000 over the 6 years, have come surreptitiously.
Each year, an automatic congressional increase is tucked deep inside the mammoth appropriation bill for the Treasury Department, a bill that always passes. So members always get a raise, unless they choose to deny themselves by specifically voting to remove the automatic hike. Thus far, they've shown remarkable restraint in this regard. One bold member who keeps trying to say no to this help-yourself dip into the taxpayer's gravy is Jim Matheson, Democrat of Utah. Again this year, Matheson called for a vote on the $4,000 increase. But by a tally of 235 to 170, his colleagues rejected his procedural motion, thus avoiding even having to cast a direct public vote on their money grab. This is Jim Hightower saying, at a time when the wages of average Americans have fallen in terms of buying power, it's good to know whose side your Congress critter is on. To learn how your member of Congress voted on Matheson's attempt at honesty, call Taxpayers for Common Sense, 1-800-TAXPAYER.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens, Monday through Friday. Check your local listings.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
Tomorrow we'll discover what our God in heaven has in store. One more day, one day more. And yes, tomorrow is election day. And things are going fast and furious. In fact, we've got in Virginia and, what was this, Ohio? It was a Virginia company in Ohio is trying to buy up all the television time to play that nasty screed against John Kerry, called Stolen Honor, which is full of documented lies. And I think they actually went too far. They made a mistake. They interrupted the Michigan-Michigan State game when it was in overtime to play this anti-Kerry screed. And people got really mad. I wonder if that'll bring a few votes to the Democrats. We've got churches endorsing Bush. One of the things that always surprises me is when Catholic priests, bishops get up there and endorse George Bush and talk only about abortion. I thought the Catholic Church was against the death penalty as well. They don't talk about that with regards to George Bush. But even more important, I've always had a lot of respect for the Catholic Church because they are really concerned about poverty. The Catholic Church has always been, for me, I've always really appreciated. I got lots of problems with the Catholic Church. I admit that. And I'm not Catholic. I'm Jewish. So maybe I don't have a right to criticize. But I've been very impressed that they seem to really look out for poor people. And all you have to do is look at Bush's record. More people in poverty than ever before. Huge, you know, the poor are poor. The rich are richer. Huge income disparities like never before. And for a bishop, a Catholic, to call Kerry a bad Catholic? I mean, ask yourself this. Who does Jesus care more about? An unborn fetus or an unborn couple cells after conception that could be miscarried or a starving child? Who do you think? Who do you think deserves more care? Anyway, we're here. It's one day before Election Day. We're talking about voting. I want to just give out all these examples, and I want to also give you folks a chance.